You're listening to the Kurt Landry Podcast, where we're going to help you discover your kingdom destiny. My name is Daryl, and sitting right across from me is Rabbi Kurt Landry. And in this episode, we're discussing why humanitarian aid is so important and where and how is it biblical. But before we jump into this discussion in this podcast, Rabbi, how's it going, man?
Listen, we are in our new studio here, and I'm loving this. I've got a lot of guests that I want to bring in, and this is going to be a great space to really kind of feel that comfort, to be able to get that pure conversational download that we need to all have. And that's what this podcast is all about. You know, I've always, you know, people would ask me and say, I'd love to be able to sit down with you. Well, you're getting able to do that. And I'd like to be able to just to share the experience. Listen, we're talking about humanitarian aid. This is the heart of Kurt Landry Ministries, House of David. That's where we started. We started with humanitarian aid, and it's so important. And one of the reasons I'm hoping that through this podcast, people will have maybe a little deeper view of why humanitarian aid is important, not just during crisis, but to have a humanitarian aid culture in your family, your ministry, and your businesses, because it keeps things balanced.
Yeah, so let's address it first before we really jump into this new studio space. Vibe's a little bit different, more conversational, more laid back. Was this kind of, obviously people listening can't see it, but if you're watching this episode on the One New Man app that we have launched by this point that this episode has came out, it's got a way different feel to it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's supposed to feel like we're sitting down at home discussing this. And this is one of the subjects that if I was going to, I just went to a conference down in Dallas with the young apostles and prophets. I have to tell you, first time with the group, they invited me in to speak, but I did a lot more listening than speaking. These were Gen Zs, these were millennials. I was so impressed, I got to tell you. The wisdom, the knowledge, the theology, the doctrine, the hearts, the maturity, the body of Christ, the ecclesia is in good hands. I haven't been around this group before. I was first time, and they were kind of, I think, a little bit shocked with what I shared, but I was also shocked to see how they reacted, in a good shock.
Shocked how? I mean, like how so?
Okay, the subject was fathers, you know, the heart of the father. That's why they invited me. So we had like Bishop Paul Hammond, we had Apostle John Kelly. These two men have some of the largest apostolic prophetic networks in the world. And there were some others that were there. Chuck Pierce was there, Lance Wallnau, Mark Sharona, and then all these young developing up-and-coming apostles and prophets. But what we were discussing was Malachi chapter 4. And Malachi 4 says that the hearts of the fathers are turned to the children and the hearts of the children are turned to the fathers, lest the world get struck with a curse. So the whole family unit, and it fits in with this message too of humanitarian aid, that the whole family unit needs to be able to have that visitation of the Lord, of the father, sons, father, daughter, mother, all of that, that real passion released. So you asked what shocked them is when I said, I shared my testimony a little bit, and I said, you have to understand that biblically, this is the last book of the minor prophets of the Old Testament, and then we went into a dark age. But this word, actually, what it means, the fathers are the Jews. And they literally was a gasp in the room, like, what? I said, yeah, the patriarchs are the Jews. So if you think about it, when the hearts of the fathers, the Jewish leadership, embraces the sons, which is the grafted in ecclesia body of Christ, when there is a love from the Jews to the body, and then from the body back to the Jews, then there is a spiritual breakthrough. So as I'm sharing this, I've got Bishop Hammond, who's 90 years old. We were celebrating his 70th year of ministry.
Oh, man.
And so I talked about what are the two components. It's not that we come together, but it says two things happen. Number one, we fall in love with the teaching of the law of Moses, which is the five books of the Torah, with the spirit of Elijah. So when I said that, I put my arm around Bishop. I know him well. And I put my arm around him and I said to the young people, do you see what's sitting here? You have Israel sitting here with the spirit of Elijah. You have Jew and Gentile as one new man coming together. This isn't like a prophecy that's for afar off. It is literally sitting here in your midst. And then I shared the benefits of that. So that's what they were shocked with. They never thought about Malachi 4 being the Jewish people, the Jewish men, and the patriarchs, obviously all the way from Abraham and Isaac and Isaiah, you know, all the way, Malachi, all of us. So anyway, yeah, it's a Jewish book with written by Jewish people. So all of that revelation came. It was wonderful. We were received with love and honor, but you could tell they had not been around like what I was sharing before. That you could see that was, for the most part, it's 80% of the congregation of the gathering there was kind of shocked with what was said in a good way.
Yeah, so like 80%, what's the age gap, or you know, like what's the demographic a little bit around that? Are we talking like 25 to 40, 20 to 40, you know, at least for the younger generation?
20 to 40.
20 to 40.
Yeah, probably averaging 30, and super, man, I did not have the maturity that I saw in that room. These are consecrated. These are people who got saved in their teens and pastor's kids, some of them. But the maturity level, I was just really impressed with these young people.
Yeah, so you look and sound refreshed. I mean, like, I know the triples a lot out of you and Miss Christie, but, like, you seem really uplifted and super energetic afterwards.
Well, yeah, because this is why when the scripture says, do not forsake the assembly of yourself, that much more so as you see the day approaching. Anybody that's been around me knows that I probably, to a fault, I probably talk too much about, and it's a good intention. It's no condemnation. But when people don't put the assembly of the saints together, they don't understand the value. The refreshing comes from being with the other. In that culture, they call them generals. So I'll be honest with you. This is a true story. So I pull up in the front. We park. And right as we pull up, Chuck Pierce pulls up. I've known Chuck since 1996. So you got to realize all of us, we have like a lot of history. And so we drive up, and he looks out his door and says, perfect timing, Rabbi Christie. And, of course, he's coming to House of David, and we give him a big hug. We walk in the building, and when we do, the power goes out. The whole, the worship team's playing, and it was just like we walk in, and
good start.
Yeah. So you ask, like, why does that happen? For instance, in the Ukraine, just to kind of give a testimony, the largest church in the Ukraine there is Pastor Sunday at Elijah. I've only preached there twice. I have never preached with the lights on, and I've always preached with a megaphone and the generators going, which is bad there because you can smell the diesel in the building. So, but anyway, I've never preached with lights on. Every time we have put our foot on that platform, the power goes out. And so that's what happened in down in Dallas, or south of Dallas, wherever we were at this meeting. So what's happened is you have so many, my point is this, there's so much angelic power ascent to, let's say, Gloria Zion, that ministry, and all the angels assigned to Chuck Pierce and what he does, and all the angels assigned to me with Kurt Landry Ministries, all the angels assigned to Mark Sharona, everybody's there, Cheon's there, all these, you know, they lead really large networks, and we're all in one, like, let's say 5,000 square foot building. The energy of that is what you're sensing off me, because there's a commingling of mantles and anointing, and it's very refreshing. That's why I tell people, that's why you need to be in the service at House of David, because that is available to you. And you really, it's kind of like your phone. You wouldn't like not charge your phone like every 2 weeks. You need to do it, you know, keep it full. You need to do the same thing with your spirit.
So really good segue, sharing that, kind of walking through from what the Spirit is kind of doing right now in current day. And obviously, we jumped to this episode. This episode's going to be about humanitarian aid. But I wanted to start really, really simple. And since you're talking about what the Spirit is just doing amongst everyone right now, all, you know, like all these leaders out, walk me through what the Spirit's doing, but also biblically why humanitarian aid is so huge and why Christians and people should pay attention and sow into that.
Okay. So let's, again, kind of like the way I looked at the scripture of Malachi chapter 4, the hearts of the fathers. So I was looking at it differently than the rest of the ecclesia was looking at it because of where I come from. So let's look at humanitarian aid and understanding that Christy and I have been involved in it for 33 years. So even into Israel right now, the best guess measurement is over $30 million of humanitarian aid into Israel. So, and that's not mentioning the aid we do in Africa, the wells, what we've done with the First Nations people here and around the world. So why is that so important? So I'm gonna read some scripture to you. Is that all right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So I just pray right now. I'm going to pray for you right now that you... I want you to catch a deep dive into the mystery of why humanitarian aid is a key component for you to understand that mystery in your life, particularly in the end times, okay? So this is all red letter. This is Matthew and chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels are with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the sheep divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. So this is an event that's going to happen where the sheep go. There'll be sheep nations, sheep people, and goat people. And it's interesting that one of the references, like if you're in sports, they call them the goat. In my culture, that is not a
greatest of all time is what they're referring to in sports.
Yeah, but that's not in the Bible. That means you're cursed. So my head's around that. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not.
So you don't want to be a spiritual goat then?
No.
Okay.
But in regards to humanitarian aid, let's look at verse 34. He says, then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, the sheep, okay, come. And like we got to ask ourselves, why does he say come? You are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So that means, hey, you're saved, your rewards in heaven are there, you're on the right side, you're considered a sheep. Great, you're saved and blessed, okay? And this is red letter New Testament, verse 35. So what did the sheep do that was different than the goats? Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying to the Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? And when were you thirsty and we gave you a drink? Verse 39, when did we see you a stranger and we took you in and you were naked and we clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you. Verse 40, and then the king answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. So isn't it interesting that, let's break this down quite practically and simply, and that's how truth is found in the Bible. The Bible is not difficult. What he's saying is, when you bring humanitarian aid to the least of these my brethren, Jesus's brethren, he was Jewish. It's the Jewish people. So the whole world is going to be judged to be found either sheep or goats based off your humanitarian qualification of how they dealt with the Jews. That's why Satan is so busy trying to poison people against Israel. So you see the BDS movement, you see the pro-Palestinian, you see the, and I'm not against the Palestinian, you see pro-Hamas, you see all this stuff. What it's trying to do is it's trying to steal God's sheep and make them goats. And the humanitarian aid is actually the qualification of behavior. So I wanted to say this, that when you have a real heart, when you love God, then you love what God loves. And God loves the Jewish people, but God loves all people. But God wants his people to be so blessed that out of the overflow, they can feed, bring drink, clothe, empowered to go see him. All those types of things are very important to the Lord. Now, it comes natural to Christy and I. The Lord has blessed us and blessed the ministry, and we're givers, okay? So we love to take care of humanitarian aid. It's a privilege. You have to love it, because in the natural, like what we do in Israel, is very, very difficult. There's so many problems. There's constant issues in administration of it. But the bottom line is, you have to labor to get the aid to the orphan children, to the Holocaust survivors, to the lone soldier, whoever you're doing this. And do you want me to give you just a little bit more Bible on this? Or
absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So here's the other side. He said, then also those at the left hand, this is what happens to those who don't do humanitarian aid and don't do it unto the least to him, his brethren. He says, then he says to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they also will answer him and say, Lord, did we do this? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, naked or sick, in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he answered them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these, the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I mean, that's huge. I'm not sure that when people got born again, saved, water baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, that they understood that there was a qualification for entering into righteousness of actually blessing with humanitarian aid, and particularly having not cursing Israel. See, the covenant that we're all saved by, all of us, Jew and Gentile, is Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, Abraham, and I will curse those who curse you. So we fell in the garden, we were in eternal damnation, and then God cut a covenant with Abraham, and when he did, that was for the Jewish people. Jesus comes at the cross, dies as the Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world, and now all who call on the name of the Lord are grafted into Abraham's covenant. So you can't curse the covenant people and then not take care of the covenant people and be blessed of God. So that's, I'm not sure I almost feel like this is kind of a gasp moment. I didn't share this at that conference, but when I shared it was the Jewish people. I think sometimes we can get so religiously thinking in the world of Christian denominationalism that we forget that this is a real basic red letter principle that the Lord says, and Paul said in Romans, he said, it's our duty to bless the Jewish people because they are providing the root source of everything that we have, because that's why the scripture says, and to the Jew first. And this is something that really is not, people don't want preached right now, but really needs to be preached, because the sheep are under attack by the devil to create goat behavior, so they'll go to hell.
Why do you think that message is being shot away from in the church right now?
It's an expensive message.
How so?
Well, if you start really standing with Israel, well, let me just give you the basics of the difficulty of church business, okay? In all denominations, you know, first of all, in order for a church to survive, it's nickels and noses. You've got to be able to bring a product like anything else to get that ongoing participation of families wanting to come and tithe and bring offerings, volunteer and do all the things that make church work. So you have to have programs and you have to have staff and you have to do all this stuff to make it successful. And so one of the things that kind of damages that persona to your customer base, if you want a large mega church, the first probably issue would be the Holy Spirit. So if you start speaking in tongues and operating in prophecies, words of knowledge, laying hands on the sick, people get slain in the spirit, all that type of behavior, you're going to limit the more conservative religious experienced people, because they were either raised or taught or afraid of, because some of that stuff looks pretty radical. I agree with that. So if you bring the Holy Spirit in on fire, then let's say like the Holy Spirit wants to take the service from being an hour and a half to like 3 hours. Well, you know, that's, you know, the Holy Spirit's not so popular. Wait a minute. We have to go to breakfast or lunch. So there's that. So then the next thing that is the real issue of Holy Spirit and gifts, the next thing would be start standing with Israel. Because you start standing pro-Israel, and listen, I know this. One of my good friends, Ron Phillips, theologian, written many books, probably one of the most respected Southern Baptist pastors, Chattanooga, Tennessee. I've worked with him for years. We're dear friends. But I can remember when he had a huge church in Chattanooga. And then one day, Dr. Ron Phillips gets filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues and starts operating in the gifts. Well, the Southern Baptist didn't think that was, we liked the non-tongue speaking Ron Phillips better. Now, listen, they didn't remove him from the convention, but there was issues. So he weathered that. He's big enough, you know, he's on TBN at that time running, you know, regular television programs. And so he's running that. So he survives the Holy Ghost part and everything's good. And then one day, Rabbi Kurt Landry comes and it's like, okay, let's do the Jew thing. You know, let's bring Zion in. And he totally embraced the whole thing. You know, listen, it's so, we did television programs teaching, this is years ago, about tallits, and, He alone, we did order 50,000 tallits through his television network, you know, in a year. So, I mean, it's like, when you look online and you see tallits over the pulpits of different places, that's Ron. And when we did teaching on the Key of David, no one knew it was the Key of David. But, man, there was some pushback. So now Dr. Ron, tongue-talking and Zionist. So now he's a tongue-talking Zionist. But what he's doing is he's developing into the latter rain return. We're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years in the New Jerusalem. And guess what? They're going to speak in tongues, and it's going to be very pro-Israel. And if you want to add, now, he didn't do this, but if you'd like to add the fifth thing in to really be controversial in your church, just become part of the fivefold ministry. You know, start bringing in apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. Start actually operating in that versus deacons and elders. And then, man, you've got yourself a soup that's really going to run them out the door. So why? Because everything I just said, Daryl, man can't control it. You can't, listen, if you get people liberated, I'm just telling you the truth. Listen, House of David, our church, we are Spirit-filled, always have been, speak in tongues, operate in all the 9 gifts of the Spirit. The clock belongs to the Lord and the Holy Spirit. We are definitely pro-Israel, obviously one new man. But we're also part of an apostolic fivefold ministry. I operate apostolically as a prophet. Pastor Tim operates as a pastor and a teacher. So the government is we have all three. And then you would say, well, you know what? You'd be much bigger if you could, if you didn't do all that. And absolutely, we would be bigger. But I will tell you this, we wouldn't have more power. We wouldn't have more power. So when people really want to be healed or transformed, then they come to House of David, they come to our ministry, and you'd be surprised who calls late at night when there's a crisis and they ask us to pray. Because every step you take to actually be in alignment with God's ways, which are higher than ours, then the more power. You can't ignore the Holy Spirit. You can't ignore the standing in alignment with Israel and the government of God. Jesus said it, upon this rock I shall build my church, upon apostles, prophets. He said that. So if you follow God's patterns, you get the power. You don't follow God's patterns, you have less power. I'm not saying you're not saved, but if you actually want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, the more you're in alignment with God, more humble, following his ways by faith, the more power.
So me and Morgan's 2-year anniversary here at Kurt Landry Ministries is about 5-6 weeks away. And, you know, for us, and I think other people listening that can relate to growing, which Morgan grew up much more radical conservative side. I grew up super, super conservative. You know, I mean, like those types of churches you're talking about. If somebody starts speaking in tongues, I mean, people are, you know, stand it up, and, you know, I mean, it's just different reaction. You know, deacon's probably going to grab you and, you know, start dragging you out, you know, just yelling witchcraft at you or something, right? But for us, you know, being, I want to say exposed or baptized by fire in a sense, right, to seeing ministry and church and then the humanitarian side, because for us, I mean, we came from a very big church in Alabama, like the biggest church, even expands into Georgia a little bit. And they have tons and tons of satellite campuses, and they do a lot of partnerships with a ton of organizations with humanitarian aid. But even from our time in Alabama to Florida, that the church went to, Lakeland's a little different. It was a pretty big church in that city, right? But they were an ARC church, and they were kind of from the same non-denominational bloodline, as you would say, that the big church that we came from in Alabama. But not one place have we been to and actually experienced the Holy Spirit move in such a way from a biblical aspect of actually doing the humanitarian work that we're commanded to do. And so when we came in on our interview and you popped out the shofar, and I'm staring at Morgan like, what's even going on? I mean, you're sitting there blowing it, showing us all this stuff, showing us the immersion pool, and just, you know, I mean, the first thing you did when we pulled up, and I just drove from Tulsa, we see the campus, it's in the middle of nowhere, like farmland everywhere. Pop in, we see, you know, the different flags that we've got out on the campus right there. Megan hasn't made it yet. She, I think, was about to have a baby or just had one. Like, it was right in that same breath, her last one.
And yeah, Matthew was coming.
Matthew. And you gave a prophetic talk, but really broke down the history from what the Spirit was doing, which meant a lot to us, again, from our spiritual background, coming in to actually receive what we were about to experience. And so it's a huge compliment to the ministry in terms of, you know, you actually do what you say you're going to do, but you actually go into Scripture and say, when it says bless Israel and all these other scriptures, New Testament, Old Testament, and actually see, because House of David is a pretty small church. I mean, it's not like small, but it's not mega church status, right? To where you've got 20 plus campuses, and we've been in those environments and seen what type of humanitarian aid where we're tithing to, where we're going to give special offerings for different projects. And we just never experienced a church to a ministry from a nonprofit standpoint actually do what we're commanded to do from Scripture. I mean, like, does that surprise you a little bit?
Well, yeah. Listen, there is a certain naivete in Christy and I because, like, this conference, okay, we just went to. I've never been to a conference like that. So, you know, it's my first time. They invite me. Listen, I called my friends, the Hammonds, before I went. I said, okay, I'm going in here. And they laughed at us. Like, they said, listen, you guys are, you know, very personable and just be yourselves. But I had to ask them. I said, what am I going into? I mean, you would think that 33 years doing this, but I'm not used to this culture. So I kind of get what you're saying, but you have to realize that with the way we live, let's say spirit-filled, tongue-talking, I mean, we've had people raised from the dead at House of David, for real. Died, no pulse, fixed pupils, you know, turning blue, gone, lay hands on them, and have them come back to life. So, I mean, all the Great Commission, we've had blind eyes, we've had people here, all the stuff. So it's like, so for me, it's very down to one person. We had, just on Facebook, there's a couple that's been with us 10 years. They come out of I'll just say their name, just the first, but Joe and Sammy, okay? So when their daughter, when Peyton was born, she had all sorts of problems. She wasn't going to make it. And she didn't know us. She wasn't part of House of David, but she had friends. And so they asked us to pray. And I don't choose my burdens, but you know, Christy and I, we have a love for children. And this child's in a desperate situation. So we go into intercession and we pray for this baby. And obviously she's 10 years old now, 9, and she's perfectly healthy. But she wasn't supposed to make it. The doctors were saying she's not going to make it. So anyway, the reason I bring it up, her mother talked about basically this on Facebook. You know, you need to go someplace. I know the Garce, the granddaughter, grandbaby, great-grandbaby, was born 1 pound, 5 ounces. Mm. And the baby was born, and it was expiring, and we were with Charles and Connie. We were eating dinner at the Regatta in Grove. And they've been a part of our ministry, I don't know, 10, 15 years, long time. And they get the phone call. And Charles says, oh, my gosh, we got a call. We're sitting here with Rabbi and Christy right now. And I literally grabbed that phone. And I spoke to the grandmother, Charles's daughter, Charles and Connie's daughter. And I just grabbed the phone. And I remember, I mean, the Holy Spirit rose up in me. And I said, you tell that baby and you tell the parents that that baby will live and not die. In Yeshua's name. We grabbed the phone right there in the Regatta. We are having a Holy Spirit tongue praying, shouting into the phone right there in the restaurant. You could say, well, you know, it's, I don't really care what anybody thinks. We've got a one pound, 5 ounce life that's now about 15 pounds and lived. I don't care about the other stuff. I mean, do you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm beyond caring, like, what, oh, he's weird. I know I'm weird, and I know all the things, but it doesn't make any difference. I've prayed for Orthodox rabbis in the Knesset that don't even believe in Jesus. They've asked us to pray for who were dying, and touched, prayed for them, and they lived. So it's not, you know, the humanitarian aid opens the door for the gift, but the gift's got to have power. So, you know, we have a friend, you know who he is, and he went to Israel with us, and he's not a believer like we are. And he runs with very successful multimillionaire and billionaire business people. And I'm talking about William, our friend. But the reason he likes our ministry and he likes Rabbi, and he's not saved like us. I mean, he believes in God, but it's different. But why would he run around and why would he like us? And he told me one day, he said, the reason I so highly respect you and like you is because you are into spiritual results. And he says, I find that intriguing, because he says most Christians, they want to preach to you, but they're not interested in the result. He says, you're the first Christian I've met that's interested in results. And I said, that's all there is to me is results. Talk is cheap. I want to see what Jesus did. Jesus said these words, greater works you shall do than me. So if we're going to do greater than what he did, we're going to have to align. So I've really dedicated, and Christy has, and the whole ministry is, we have never tried to be mega. We've never tried to, mega church, not like Trump mega. although we do want to see America great again.
Oh, that's good.
But, but my point is that we just want the results. We want people to experience him, the love of him. And I can tell you that one of the things, like for us with our grandchildren, we're teaching them to share and give what God has blessed them so they won't be spoiled. So if they don't understand humanitarian aid, and they don't, you know, Arabella's big enough, old enough now, she understands what we do and the importance of it. She gets it. But she's 8 years old. She's been around her parents and her grandparents. She's been around the house of David. That's all we do is give. And consequently, she's a giver. Her mother was raised in this. Megan. Megan's a mega giver. So is Paul. So it's not, it's a culture. So I think when Jesus said, do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, you got to take it deeper that if it's Christ in you, that's your hope and glory, and it is, he wants out of your heart to give himself to others in whatever way or fashion. And you've been out with me enough to know that when we're out and if we run into somebody with a need and the Lord prompts us, it's pretty much every day. It doesn't... It's just wherever we go, people sense that there's something different. And I really think it's the humanitarian heart to want to bless people. If you want to be blessed, you have to bless. You have to have a heart to want to bless people. A.W. Tozer wrote a book years ago talking about hearing the Lord's voice. And the thrust of the book says this. The title of the book, I believe, if I can remember right, the title is The Lord Speaks to Those Who Care. The Lord Speaks to Those Who Care. Here's the key. I'll break it down to the rabbi because I'm more blunt and not as gracious as A.W. Tozer. The Lord isn't going to speak to those who are not going to do anything with it. If he knows you're going to do it, I think one of the reasons that I hear his voice is because if he tells me, even as crazy as it looks like, I'm going to try my best to do it because it's not me. And a lot of what we do is in twofold, humanitarian aid and souls. And why do you do both? Because you can't reach souls because they don't want to know what you know until they know how much you care. So the humanitarian aid is you feed them in the natural and then you feed them in the spirit. Then they taste and see the Lord is good and they get saved.
Podcast at kurtlandry.com. If you have questions, you can go ahead and send that to us. We'll hopefully get it questions answered. Rabbi, we've got some that has populated in. Not this episode, but the next one, we're going to answer them towards then. We'll just do a rapid fire unless we get a really good topic that gets pushed in, and then we'll do a whole episode on it. I think to wrap up this episode, you know, it's the question I want you to answer, but I kind of want to pitch it a certain way. The question's simple. Why should people consider donating and doing humanitarian work with Kurt Landry Ministries? I think from a personal aspect, as again, like our past, me and my wife's past coming in, doing this work full time. I mean, it's something that we were super passionate about. I mean, we moved from perfect location, Central Florida, Lakeland between Tampa and Orlando, and moved to Fairland, Oklahoma. Literally, again, I mean, if you've been here, you know it. But we truly felt that God was calling us to use our talents to do this. We've seen what the blessings and the activation of blessings through doing good work and doing biblical work. So, like, I want to start with that for the listeners to know that there is so many conversations and acts and things that the ministry says yes to that, hey, you know, we don't really necessarily raise money for it or, you know, try to raise funds until after the need has already been done. And so it's a little different for me being in Israel, filming all these locations, speaking with people that are doing the work, boots on the ground, seeing lives change. I mean, every single place, literally from the moment that we landed, we were going to a different spot to where people who donate to the ministry is sowing and tithing into changing lives in Israel. And for the people, from a biblical aspect, but, saying all that, right, I'm trying to lead you in here, Rabbi. Why should people from a personal, but also relatable biblical aspect say, hey, this ministry is doing what they say they actually do, but why should they trust you in the ministry with it?
Well, we try to put out as much social proof as possible that we do what we say. And that's good. You know, and you and Sam and everyone does a great job with that. And I appreciate it. But the reason they should do it is because the Holy Spirit is leading them to do it. It really needs to be let me talk to you as Chuck Pierce said this. He said, he was describing me to somebody, and he said, Rabbi is a prophet, entrepreneurial, apostolic, and he's one too, so, and that is rare. So let me talk to you from a business standpoint, okay? Yeah, I've been a businessman a lot longer than I've been a believer. I always want to be more effective with less. I want to get more done with less, okay? So if you're going to sow your seed, your finances into a ministry, is the ministry aligned properly with God to get what Jesus talked about, that some have 30, 60, and 100-fold return? Of course, everybody says they're 100-fold return, okay? And that's fine that they say it. But realistically, to be 100-fold return, then that means that you have a biblical financial structure that can be blessed 100% because it's 100% in alignment with God's word. So I'll just give you some real basic keys to biblical finance and how it works. Speaking to you from this principle, the ministry's debt-free and I'm debt-free. And I live with no lack. Okay, so that's just the testimony. So that's the proof. And I'm not asking, I don't ask people to give to me so that I can survive because I'm taken care of. You're close enough to me, you understand. So it's like, well, how did he get here? I mean, it didn't just like accidentally happen. I didn't have some giant inheritance or anything. It's not worth, how did he get here? I'll tell you why. When I read the book of Acts and it said, you are to be witnesses to me after you get filled with the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and then all ends of the earth. I looked at that and I said, guess what? We're going to start taking care of the poor in Jerusalem. We have lone soldiers. We have a girl safe house. We take care of 500 Holocaust survivors in Jerusalem. Just today, I said we could get 250 new beds and mattresses for our lone soldiers there in Jerusalem. Just said yes to it today. So are we blessed in Jerusalem? Absolutely. Samaria, you were with us. We went to Me'el Damim, who supplied 38 different safe houses, bomb shelters, who supplied 35 soldiers with bulletproof vests, helmets, lights, flashlights, walkie-talkies. Where? Me'el Damim, Samaria. So we're doing Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. So who's planting the trees where we went to the farm in the mountains of Judea and Samaria? So we are actually sowing our seed in the chronological order of biblical financial responsibility, then to all ends of the earth. Who took care of 500 orphans working with the Foreign Ministry Office and the embassy in Nairobi, Kenya, to 500 orphans, Kurt Landry Ministries, and to all ends of the earth. So what happens is we're checking off all the boxes so that when we do sow a seed, it will be 100%. So in my own personal finances and in what I do, you got to realize I have followed the pattern I'm talking to you about for 33 years. So I'm not saying if you do it, like you're going to be debt-free like me in next year, but there has to be a place. Now, what you're seeing with my children is they're already following the pattern and it is working for them. You look at Pastor Tim Osball, who has been my, we would call it associate pastor, we don't refer to him that way, for 24 years. He is also debt-free. And he has, you know, thousands and thousands of acre of farmland. And he's a mega farmer. And he's extremely successful. So if you look at the core, if you look down the street with Randy and Mary, how do all these people, like, they followed the principle. So when you ask me, Daryl, like, should they sow a seed into it? Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Whoever you run with is what you're going to end up with in your life. So you need to sow seed, and we're bringing the teaching and we're bringing the seed sowing ground. We're giving you the soil and the study so that you can actually go down the same path that we're on. That's why we're starting the Kurt Landry Leadership Institute to do masterclasses. Why? So that people can take these principles and bring them into corporations, and their corporations can be debt-free and multiply. So I think, why should they sow seed into us? If they're feeling led, it's a safe place to sow seed because it will multiply a hundredfold.
Yeah, I really think on this topic, especially how the conversation is kind of led. I mean, like, we could talk about this for another hour or two and it just be fresh. So, obviously we want to respect people. You're listening maybe during a workout or, you know, a nice little drive. If you want more of this, if you want more about, the biblical humanitarian side of scripture, and just more information on what Kurt Landry Ministries is doing, First thing you do is you can send those questions and those desires to podcast@curtlandry.com, or you can visit our website. That's just curtlandry.com. It's a brand new, beautiful website, tons of content. The layout, Rabbi, is just fantastic. It really leads people down the heart of the ministry and you know, why we do what we do. And so as we wrap this up, lasting thoughts for the listeners and the viewers.
Your future is in your hands. You need to say, yes, Lord. My prayer for you is that whatever the Lord is leading you to do, don't be afraid of change. Change is absolutely necessary. There's no reason to fear it. Just say yes to the Lord. And I will say this to you as a spiritual elder person. What in the conference they wanted me to speak to them as a father, I would say, trust the Lord and be obedient. Whatever he's asking you to do, take the risk by faith. And it's not whether or not you succeed or fail, it's whether or not you obey, because the Lord will give you more grace trying than crying.
Before we go, hit the bell notification, hit the follow. If you're listening on Spotify, you're listening on Apple, or if you're listening at curtlandry.com/podcast, just make sure that you do whatever you can do to get the notification every single week. This show comes out with a new episode Thursdays at 6 a.m. Again, if you have any questions, thoughts, podcast@curtlandry.com. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Rabbi, I'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you very much, Derek.
Hey, before you go, I got something really exciting I want to share with you. It's an opportunity for you to be a part of us as a One New Man Covenant subscriber. This membership is going to allow you to receive weekly prophetic words and also content that's not available to the general public. Your membership is going to help us to be able to bring better content, and more education to you. What is needed in this day and hour is good information. So become a One New Man Covenant subscriber for Curt Landry Ministries, and I want to thank you in advance.